concerning the old covenant, that the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent took it by force. But how many of you know in the new covenant, everything is received by rest? And it says, until John. Well, we know that John the Baptist came, but guess what? One greater than John came, and his name was Jesus. And you don't have to work for anything as sons and daughters. You just have to receive. And God is not hanging a carrot of his presence over your head or hanging your destiny over you, that if you just strive enough, you'll get it. It really is just knowing just how good he is. And I was sitting on my porch the other day, and we had just built this deck. And I was sitting out there, and I'm watching eagles kind of go up in the updraft. You know, you know what I'm talking about. The thermal is what they're called. And they were just going up. I mean, it was like they weren't even flapping their wings at all. They were just kind of circling. And as they were circling, the heat that was actually underneath their wings was rising. See, the Bible says he will mount you up on wings of eagles. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 30, it speaks of three that are beyond understanding, which is a way of an eagle when he flies. And the reason Solomon looked at that and thought it was beyond understanding was it wasn't making any energy or any force. It was just like something was just lifting it. And I feel just as we sing this, that there's going to be a lifting up of the Lord in rest. And I want to encourage you guys tonight, don't posture yourself for the presence by work, because it never comes by work. Because he never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He's a good father. And even when you don't feel him the way you felt him last night, it doesn't mean you're not feeling him. It may just be like the disciples on the road to Emmaus, that he's just coming in another form that you're not yet aware of. And I was sitting on my porch, and the Lord said this. I was watching the eagles, and the Lord said, Mark, I want to deal with your abandonment issues. I didn't even know I had any. Because guess what? That's how it works. If we go on a personal sin hunt or looking for a bunch of stuff, guess what? You're going to be defeated. But the Father will deal with you with things in his season, in his timing, because he's a good dad. And I'm a father. I have 5 kids. And I love my kids so much. But all my kids are in different ages and life cycles and different places. I don't deal with them all the same. And I don't do the same thing with every single one of them. I don't say the same thing with every single one of them. Guess what? I love them all identically the same. You guys are in all different places. And it'd be real easy when the Lord comes and begins to move, even like last night, it'd be real easy to go, wow, that person got a prophecy, or that person was used that way. And subtly what happens is our minds begin to twist back onto the elementary things of the earth. And we begin to think that maybe they got that because they did something, or they postured themselves a certain way or whatever. But really all it was God was doing something in them and something different in you. And it's okay, because guess what? It says that he will grow us up with the growth that comes from the Lord, that we would grow up into all things, even him who is the head, even Christ. God wants us to grow up into him. And guess what? You growing up into him may look differently than me growing up into him. There are different gifts in the body, diversities of gifts, but the same spirit. And I'm sitting out there, and this is what he says, I want to deal with your abandonment issues. And what had happened was, when I was a kid, and this isn't what I was going to preach on, but when I was a kid, I had severe anxiety. And I had some issues with anxiety, and I was having a lot of panic attacks. And my parents at the time, they didn't know what was going on, because it wasn't like today. They didn't just give you medicine. They thought there was something like psychologically wrong with you, because normal people shouldn't have anxiety. So my parents took me to this. They took me to this. It really was meant to be a help center, but it was more like a psychiatric center, to be really honest with you. And my mom brought me there, my dad brought me there, and they didn't tell me what was going on. I just packed my suitcase, had no clue. I thought, oh, they're going to send me to boarding school or something. We show up, and I see this, and it names the thing, and it says, Psychiatric Treatment Center. And I'm thinking, what? You know, like, what is this all about? And my mom and dad bring me in, and listen, here's the thing. They meant the best for me. They just didn't understand what was going on with me, because there was only one who could deal with me. You know, David said this, though my mother and my father forsake me, the Lord will lift me up. And even though we don't want to, there's often times that we begin subtly to view the Heavenly Father through our earthly parents. And we subtly get these insecurities and these father issues, really. And what happens is we tend to come to God like we would to try to prove through our parents or whoever it is we're looking up to, that we're worthy of their attention. But how many of you know we're only worthy because he's worthy? And my parents drop me off, and I'm there, and anyway, a period of time goes by, I'm there, and then they're going to let me go because they really didn't know what to do because I wasn't having any anxiety when I was there. And I called my mom. I said, Mom, they said you can come pick me up. And my mom says this. She said, we're not coming to get you until you're about 18. I'm 15 years old. Something hit me in that moment. The first time in my life, I didn't feel secure or safe. I felt like, you know, like, wow, this is scary. And now I got real anxious. Anyway, my mother, the doctor had convinced her in a period of time. They came and got me. And really what my mom didn't want, because see, what had happened was my aunt had had her son commit suicide that year. And my mom saw me dealing with issues. She lived through her fear and meant well, but she put me in there because she thought it'd be better to put me in a prison than to give me some freedom. It's still the spirit of religion. It's still the law, because see, the law tries to constrain outwardly what only God can do inwardly. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so I'm like, I get out. And so this happened a couple times. My parents would bring me back there, and I subtly didn't realize this, but I had developed this fear of being abandoned. And you know, the fear of being abandoned creates an orphan thought process that gets us to try to work for a lot of stuff that you can only receive through inheritance. And I'm sitting on the deck and I'm watching the Eagles, and God says, Mark, look, I'm dealing with your abandonment issues, because he's showing me that a good son simply has to receive, an orphan has to work. And I believe right now God's going to deal, even just as we sing this, as we begin to take our eyes off us and what we can do, because see, worship's not about what we can do, it's magnifying what he has already done. I feel like he's going to begin to do some things in your heart. And I believe there's some of you, even as I'm sharing this testimony, and I don't need to know, because it's a personal thing between you and the Lord. As we begin to just for a few seconds to honor his presence before I share the word, I believe the Lord is going to come and he's going to deal with anxiety. I believe some of you have been dealing with chronic nightmares that you've not been able to get rid of. And I believe the Lord is going to come tonight as we just worship. He is going to set you free of those things, because you are set free in rest. You're never set free through work. So can we do that? Would you guys agree with me? If it's you and you've been having real anxiety, I don't want you to look to your friend, look to the left, look to the right. There's going to be no shame at all. But I believe just as you worship, I ask you to look into that issue of anxiety. And I want you to just say this. I want you to just, as you're singing, I want you to tell them, you are worthy of it all. If you've had abandonment issues and you felt like mom and dad or father figures in your life have left you, I want you to sing, you're worthy of it all. Because the Bible says that God said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will not leave you as orphans. None of you are here by mistake. None of you were born by mistake. Because the Bible says this, that God saw you in the womb yet before you were formed. Which meant before mom and dad got together, God already knew your name. He already knew you'd be here in this divine moment. He already knew that he would touch you and heal you and set you free of the things you're dealing with. If you've been dealing with insecurities, things that, you always want to be bold and have confidence. The way to break insecurity is simply to stop trying to be secure and just rest in the security of the Lord. Just begin to rest in his eternal security that he purchased for you on the cross, because he's your Father. Let him embrace you tonight. Let him release his love to you tonight. Can we do that? Would that be okay, guys? Let's do this. Everybody just close your eyes and just lift your hands. And guys in the back, just go ahead and stand up. Let's do this corporally, because there's no age limit in the spirit. We're all one generation. Even tonight, I felt tonight as we were sitting in the back, I felt like there's an aspect of the cloud of witnesses that is here in the room tonight. I don't fully understand that, and that's a mystery. Dan preached the mysteries. But I feel like we're touching something timeless tonight.
From you all. deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all, Jesus. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to deserve the glory. You're worthy of it all, Jesus. You're so worthy of it all. Yes, you are. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
How many of you just felt the presence come stronger and just the peace of the Lord come? See how easy it is? I think one of the lies that we have to disbelieve is that it's hard to move in the Spirit.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, we're gonna do some more stuff later and pray for people, and I'm gonna have Dan. How many of you guys enjoyed Dan?
Yeah.
Wasn't Justin amazing this morning too, Pastor Justin? He was great. So I'm gonna function in the ministry of mistakes tonight after those guys. So why don't you guys go ahead and sit down and we'll get into the word briefly. Thank you guys. Aren't these guys awesome? That's fine. Amen. Hey, Ryan, I forgot my water. Can you bring in my water, bro? See this guy, Ryan? Ryan is amazing. If you guys think about it, pray for him and his wife. They're planning a church in Schenectady, New York, fourth least church city in the United States. And him and his wife are preaching the grace message in the midst of law country. And that, pray for them, you young people, pray for them. Some of you might even end up going to college out there. If you do, connect with him and his wife. But it's a tremendous honor to be here in this house and with this family. And it's amazing how the last 2 years, really, I've met some of my best friends in the whole world because of coming here. And I'm just tremendously honored and humbled to be able to share. And I'm really honored to be able to share with you guys, because I don't feel like I'm preaching to teens or to young adults. I feel like I'm preaching to world changers, and that's a humbling experience, because you know, you go different places and share the word, but you guys are hungry, and hunger does something. There's something about hunger that enables the realities of His world to be seen in this world. I was in a meeting not too long ago, and I was standing up front, and I started laughing, and a good friend of mine was sharing, and he came over to me, and he said, "What are you laughing about?" I said, "The Lord spoke to me." And he goes, "Well, what did He say?" I said, "He told me that He loves awkward moments, because awkward moments let us know that we're not as comfortable with His world as we should be. And those weird transition times where we don't really know what to do, I think the worst thing we can do is be professional about knowing what to do. We need to live in dependency, and sometimes answers are overrated and mystery is underrated, you know. The Bible says even the full honeycomb or the loaf is, you know, satisfied, or loaves the honeycomb. I'm hungry, and you know, sometimes about hunger is a funny thing, because hunger lets you know you're still alive. You know, sometimes you're hungry for the Lord. It's a good thing. It could be really frustrating, too, because sometimes you don't even know what you're hungry for. You ever go to the fridge and you have no idea what you're going to eat, but you're hungry? It's like going down to Sheetz for the first time when you're from up north. How many know what Sheetz is? Okay, this is like foreign to me. Gas stations that serve every kind of food you can think about. The first time I went there, Dan baptized me in Sheetz culture, and I'm there, and I have no idea what I'm going to order. I'm standing there like this, and there's screens, and I don't know what to order. I have no idea. Do I get a pizza? Do I get a fried pickles? No, I got the fried pickles, and I had to get prayer. But sometimes, you know, you go to the fridge, you have absolutely no idea what you're hungry for. And it can be a frustrating thing. Don't let it become frustration. There's a difference between hunger and frustration. Frustration will make you cynical. Frustration will make you angry. Frustration will make you disappointed. It'll make you go into hope deferred. Hunger will cause you to keep looking for what you're looking for until you're satiated by it. Amen? How many are hungry tonight? I have a quick word I felt like the Lord gave me, but I believe tonight, especially during the prayer time, I saw in my spirit, I really believe tonight that there are going to be things activated in you that maybe have lying dormant in your life, but there are going to be things that are activated in you that have been in God's heart from all eternity. I really do believe what Justin said this morning, that there could be future senators, future congressmen, future revivalists, all those kind of things. But I also believe that the greatest revivalists in the earth are also sitting in here, and they may never stand before a pulpit. They may never preach the gospel, but they're future mothers and fathers who will raise their kids to the glory of the Lord and change the earth. Sometimes we downplay the emphasis of the home and family relationship, and we build up the preaching, but in reality, it's the home that will change the nation. And I really believe that even this ministry here was touched because of something the Lord did in the home, and it's went all around the earth. And I believe that God is going to so do things in your life that make you into the greatest human beings on the earth, which is to be moms and dads. And that doesn't just mean physically. It also means spiritually. Some of you are going to mentor people that go on to greatness. Some of you are going to mentor people that don't seemingly go on to any greatness, but in the eyes of God, they're significant, and they're not a wasted life because... You know, my grandfather started sweeping the floor at a factory, and when he retired, he was the plant manager. And I think sometimes we despise the day of small beginnings, and we're so looking forward to those days that we stand before princes and kings that we miss the relationships that God's trying to touch in our midst. Amen? So I got one scripture or two, and I want to put it up, and it's kind of long, and I want to read it. I'm not going to necessarily teach verse by verse on it all, but I want to just touch on a couple things in it, because how many of you know that the earth is crying out for something? Do you have that Romans 8 verse? Do you have that up there? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him. How many of you know that his suffering was our suffering? Okay? That we may be also glorified together. Next verse. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed to us. I'm sorry, in us. For the earnest expectation of creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Next verse. For the creature was subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of him who has subjected it, the same in hope. Because of the creature itself, I'm not used to actually preaching out of the King James, so don't mind my seemingly speech impediment, but Moses, I guess, had one too. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation, all of creation, everything, all of creation, everything God created, everything, the trees, the rivers, the rocks, everything, the universe, everything travails and groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but also we, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of the body. That's pretty heavy stuff, right? I think we focus a lot on redemption, and rightly so. But I don't think we often go beyond that to the purpose of redemption. Because I don't know if you guys remember, there's a portion of Scripture where Jesus says this, I came to seek and I came to save that which is lost. And I think for the first time in my life, and I've not been in ministry as long as some of you in the room, but for the first time since I have been preaching the gospel, I am beginning to feel like there's a generation on the earth that possibly could answer that call. And you know, it isn't about working it up. It's about getting a revelation of something. And I think we've not really focused on the why of redemption as much as the what of redemption. But see, in the creation, when God created Adam and Eve, we think about a lot of things and we talk about a lot of things. But what God was really creating was a son. He was really creating a family. And so when Adam and Eve were on the earth, the entire creation were under their dominion because they were functioning from his dominion. And really, in the eyes of the earth, they really were superheroes. Everything in creation was subject to them. The church lately has actually thought it's our job to destroy creation. When in reality, creation is actually waiting for us to put it back into order. I know this may be a little bit heavy for youth camp, but I don't feel like I'm speaking to youth. I feel like I'm speaking to sons. And I feel like I'm speaking to daughters. You know, it's interesting that whenever God told David, he said, Solomon is going to be a king. Imagine how that changed David's perspective of raising a son. You know, imagine you guys are older and you have families and an angel comes in your room and says, hey man, when you have a son, he is going to be the president of the United States. It shouldn't change how we raise them, but for most of us, it would change how we raise them. And you find David, or you find Solomon writing the Proverbs from the perspective of the wisdom his father gave him concerning what he would one day have. My son, listen to my words and hear my teaching. You know, what he's saying is listen to this because one day you're going to stand in a place of significance that you don't yet understand, but God's already shown me that there's going to be a royal son who's going to stand and govern from a place of relationship. Imagine if we really knew, if we really, really knew what it was God was trying to raise up in the earth. What if we really understood just how royal we really are? What if we understood, really, I mean, we could get revelatory about this, but I want to take it back to just us thinking. What if we really, really, really knew that we were sons and daughters? Dan talked about it last night somewhat. What if we knew? What if we really, really knew? What if it became a reality more than a theology? What if it became a revelation? And not just individually, but corporately. You know, when Adam fell, the earth lost a picture, a revelation of what a son of God looks like. Now, we know we all fell in him. And I don't want to talk about that tonight because I do believe your pastors and leaders can develop that more, Paul's redemption and all that. What I want to look at, though, and what I want you to consider tonight is when Adam fell, the earth lost a picture of what a son and daughter of God looks like. All those years, from Adam's fall until Jesus was born, the earth was missing something. You know, every time a believer doesn't know who they are, the earth is missing something. That's not a condemnation. That's a cry from creation. The earth is looking for something. How many of you know the earth was created for us? And you know, I think it's interesting that Jesus, who really is our hero, he lives in us, he empowers us, but that Jesus, the hero of creation, doesn't come from a place of prominence when he's born into the earth. He's actually deposited in an unlikely place. You know, if you research history and you check out every revival of history, I mean, look, I want to just say this, and this is not a disrespect. You are here in a powerful place where God is moving and changing the entire earth, and it's in the middle of nowhere. And I'm from New England, and New York City is 2.5 hours from me. Boston's 1.5 hours. But if you go study the people that God used throughout history, none of them were born in likely places. God always brings something to pass in insignificance and in hiddenness before he ever releases it into visibility. And here's Jesus, and he's no different. And it gets a little convoluted, I think, for the people that are around him in that day, because Jesus is actually born in a woman who said, "Let it be done unto me according to thy word." Supernatural birth, supernatural pregnancy. Imagine some of you, because guess what? Mary would have been probably some of your age. Imagine walking downtown and you happen to be pregnant and you're saying, "Well, I'm pregnant by the Holy Spirit." I mean, I think about this a lot. I actually read my Bible and I think like this. I want to put myself in the story, because what would it have been like for Mary to say, "Okay, God, I want to carry this." And then the next thing you know, all that she said, "I want to carry," is the very thing that's causing all the problems in her life. She's walking down the street and people are probably calling her all kinds of names, and names I'm sure you've heard, but I'm not gonna give the devil credit and say them. But they're being, you know, harassed and all these things, and you know, now people are out to kill them and they gotta go down to Egypt, and this thing's just getting complicated. Joseph's trying to put her away privately like religion does. God starts something and they want to put it away and hide it. How many of you know you can't hide what God begins and you can't stop what he starts? And then Jesus is born, and I imagine that Mary's travail was probably worse than any other travail of any other woman in history, because she's birthing the most significant thing the earth has ever seen. And there's not enough room for her at the end. And then Jesus is born. And the Bible says he's tempted in every point, yet without sin. And I imagine, just like some of us, he was walking down the street and his friends were making fun of him, and they were giving him a hard time because his mom was, you know, a floozy, and all the rumors. And I mean, imagine that. He had to deal with stuff you deal with. And here he is this whole time growing in wisdom and favor with God, until a point at the Jordan River when he's revealed by his father. And he comes into that river, and I want you to hear this. I'm just trying to talk and to set this up. He comes into this river, and for the first time since Adam fell, the earth is about to see what a son looks like. And he comes out of the water, and the father speaks, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." And he goes on a hunt for the devil. He starts casting out demons. He starts walking on water. He's actually riding boats, and storms are coming, and he's calming storms. He's opening blind eyes. He's raising dead people that have been dead for 4 days, to the very point where they had decay on them enough for a person to say he stinketh. For the first time in history, listen to this, from Adam until then, the earth had been waiting to see something that was always meant to be here. I'm sorry, that just blesses me when I think about it. You know, from the time he was born to Gethsemane, the Garden of Gethsemane, the earth saw the Son. But how many of you know the Bible says he was the pattern son? He wasn't the only son. He was the pattern son, which means he was a prototype. My iPhone, before they launch them, they build what? A prototype. See, God had created a son in the earth. His name was Adam. He messed up. He was a prototype. But see, God couldn't release what he wanted to release from a broken prototype. So what he did was, he actually became the broken prototype to break it. So that he could start a whole new thing all over again called a new creation. But you know, creation was only temporarily satisfied. When Jesus ascended, the earth's cry didn't stop. See, the church thinks, I'm trying to say this in a way that isn't just attacking. The church has thought God's plan was for us to evacuate. When in reality, it was God's plan that we take over. And I hear this hunger in the people of God everywhere I go, that they don't just want to do church. They want to release heaven. How many of you know that the water was always created to be walked on? The wind and the waves were always meant to obey, not be obeyed. Tornadoes were meant to be spoken to, not hidden from. Hurricanes were meant to be told to go out to sea, not embraced as God's hand. Hear the rain? What did I say when we went out in the parking lot tonight? I said, when I get up, it's going to start to thunder and lightning and rain. Because the Lord wants you to speak to creation. I know this is all over the place. But I'm asking you to listen with your spirit tonight. Because the earth has a cry. Guess what? It's crying for you. It's saying, tell me what to do. That may be really bold. You might want to put that one on the internet because I'll be like number 6 false prophet on the internet. But the reality is, I was standing in a tornado alley, which they call it Tornado Alley down south. And I was standing there in the pulpit and I said this. I said, why do you embrace that? That's not normal. That's disorder. Why don't you stop calling it that and tell the tornadoes not to come anymore? And the whole room got nervous. But guess what? That's what Jesus did. Jesus altered the course of history because he was a son. I believe the reason God has released a grace reformation is to get the things that hinder us out of our mind so we can actually function as we were always meant to function. Let me give you a verse. Galatians 4, 1 through 8. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be the what? Of some things? He's king of kings and what? That means you're a king and you're a lord. We get nervous with those terms because we think we're trying to say we're the lord. No, that's not what I'm saying. But you got to understand that even the Greek word apostle was actually taken from the Roman culture. There was no word for apostle. Jesus stole it from the Romans because what that word meant was that word was a specific term that was used by the Roman culture for specific Roman soldiers who their whole job was to go to some location, plant themselves in that location, and make the culture of that location look like, act like, talk like, and obey Rome. And Paul would say this, our citizenship is of heaven. The reason that he has actually left us here is to make this whole world, this whole culture, everything in this planet look, smell, act like the kingdom of heaven. And you know how we do it? We don't do it by force. We don't do it by anger. We don't do it by hate. We do it by just being who we always have been all along. And he says, he's the Lord of all. Next verse. He says, if an heir thinks he's a slave, even though he's the Lord of all things, and then he goes on to say this, but is under tutors and governors under the appointed time of his father. Next verse. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage to what? Elementary principles of the world. How many of you know? Next, we'll go to the next verse. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, next verse, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. And because you are sons, say we are sons.
We are sons.
God has sent forth the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. How about then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which were by nature are no gods. Did I go that far? Yeah, that's the last verse. What he's basically saying is this. Now it's getting spooky, right? But you know what? It's not. Because none of these things shall by any means harm us. Just in case some of you guys live in Tornadoville and don't like thunder. I love thunder lightning. But see, we were held in bondage to the elementary things of the world. We're not in bondage to the elementary things of the world. What does that mean? It means that nothing is impossible to those who believe. We're not defined by the world. We define the world around us. The Bible said that God created the world through the what? Word of God. Jesus never reacted to the world. He only responded to the voice of his Father. What does that mean? It means we really are superheroes. You know what superheroes have? They all have something.
Superpowers.
Yeah. Another way to say that is they all have a supernatural ability. We have responsibility. What does that mean? It simply means that we have the ability to respond to his world and the ability to change our world. Guys, listen, here's why I'm saying this. I'll just cut to the chase. I'm saying this because there's a generation in this room. I'm a young man. I'm 38 years old. I have 5 kids. My oldest girl's 14. My youngest girl's 3 years old. I love my children tremendously, and I refuse to believe that America's best days are over. I refuse to believe that the best days of this earth are over. I refuse to believe that my children are not going to have it better than I had it. I refuse to believe that the church is in decline. I refuse to believe that the little kids down in the street and the communities I live in need to remain orphans. I refuse to believe that cities like Detroit have to be under poverty. And you know why I refuse to believe that? Because there's 200 or 140 superheroes in this room, sons and daughters, that have the ability to change the earth. I refuse to believe that we have to believe that what happens somewhere down in D.C. has to change the whole world. No, I believe that when we praise and when we worship, the whole world begins to change. I believe that he inhabits the praises of his people and that 140 people in a room can change the planet. I don't believe that nations have to crumble because leaders are being raised up who know who they are. Everything changed the day he came out of the water and it thundered. See, some heard thunder tonight. I heard his voice. I prophesied it before we even got over here because God was going to do a sign tonight to show you. He didn't thunder to say, you're not his or he's going to destroy you. He thundered to say, these are my beloved sons and daughters in whom I'm well pleased. And tonight I believe the very spirit of adoption is on this place. And gifts and callings are emerging. You're going to rise into the destiny of God and who you are. And you don't need to look for a superhero because the superhero lives in you. His name is Jesus. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I'm getting fired up. What does response mean? It means an answer or reply, as in words or some action. But the best definition of it, it means you're responding to something. See, Jesus never responded to what was around him. He always responded to what was inside of him. See, until we really get a revelation, not to be defined by this. Man, you guys could be going through chaos. The world can seemingly be falling apart around you, but you're getting a different witness in your spirit. You're getting a witness that God's saying, I'm about to bring an answer. I'm about to bring an end to this calamity. I love that John the Baptist, you know, the greatest of the Old Testament prophets, had positioned himself in the lowest place. And he wasn't calling out a calamity. He was calling out, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. There's time for a prophetic generation to rise up and begin to change the world with our word. We got to break agreement with death. We got to break agreement with poverty. We got to break agreement with all these things that are trying to define us. And we need to stand in our generation and declare the word of the Lord. Because guess what? When you young people begin to stand up, it will begin to change this planet. You can change your planet from the prayer closet. You can change it with a worship CD on your room. You can change your home in your room worshiping the Lord. Because God always answers the cries of his children. David would say, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or begging for bread. See, he's trying to bring us into a place of faith. And that word has been so preached so many ways. But I just like to bring things down to simple because I have a GED, guys. And I cheated on it. I didn't fall out of bed and become smart. That's not how it works. I just grabbed hold of Psalm 119 and verse 130. The entrance of his word gives light and gives understanding to the simple. We so complicated the simple and made the simple complicated. But see, God's trying to bring us to a place of faith. And faith is just really an anchor for the unseen realm. He wants us to live from the unseen towards the seen. Let me say it this way. Because we're responding to inward stimuli. This should be the best definition of faith. Faith gives eyes to the heart. When you understand who you are, everything changes. Everything you see changes. Your world changes. It's like you begin to walk through your world and you begin to notice things you never noticed before. It's funny how conditions bring forth things you never would see. You know, when the conditions are right, the dew manifests. But guess what? The moisture's always there. Guys, it's always been here. The condition for it to manifest is not for you to work up who you are, but to simply believe who you are. I think about it. I was lying on the hotel bed today listening to worship, and I was imagining the roll of the waves on the beach and the sounds of the waves just coming and crashing and thinking what they're really saying is, sons and daughters, come forth. And this isn't just for you young people. This is for a generation. John says, beloved, now we are the children of God. It's not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And how many of you know that's not talking about him coming in the sky, but when we have a revelation of who he really is on the inside of us. See, what made Jesus so powerful, what made him the greatest hero the earth has ever seen, is that he viewed the world from his inward life, not from his outward circumstances. And inside of Jesus was a government of the kingdom of God. Inside of every single one of you is a government. That same government, his kingdom. He would say this, don't look here or there and say the kingdom's here. He said, the kingdom of God is in your midst. It's in you. His dominion, his domain, his authority, it's in you. Guys, you carry the authority and the weight of heaven. Not after you go to Bible school or preach behind a microphone. I was actually in North Carolina, and it's funny how the Lord will interrupt your plans. And we were going to, we were supposed to meet this gentleman at a restaurant, and it didn't work out that we would meet at a certain restaurant. He had texted me and said, I need to meet you at another restaurant. I was getting so frustrated because I had places to be. And it seemed like my plans were all getting jumbled up. And so I said, okay, all right, we'll meet you there, but I'm not going to have a lot of time. We pull out of the hotel, and I look up, and I notice as I'm looking out of the hotel that all the lights start stopping, the red lights, and a police car comes flying by me. And so we're just driving along, and we see the police car take a right, and we're going to Applebee's, and we come around the corner, and the police car stops, and we come around the corner, we're like, well, let's see what's going on. We're going to Applebee's. Anyway, we come around the corner, and there is a woman just laid out on the concrete. Policeman jumps out of the car. We park our car. He jumps out. He comes over. The two men that are there with him are absolutely distraught. And they, honestly, I'm not judging them, but they look like they were on something too. And the police officer goes over. He's giving CPR. He's giving CPR. Another police officer comes, giving CPR. And then he grabs a bag, you know, the little bags, and they're putting it over her face, and they're pumping her. And then that goes on for like what seemed like 10 minutes, and the ambulance comes. And as the ambulance comes, they start working on her and working on her and working on her and working on her, and they stop. Because apparently these two men, this woman had died of a drug overdose, and these men didn't call the cops until it was way too late. And when the police officer started talking to them, they realized she had been expired for a while. And so what they're doing is they're just basically about to take her away. Like they were, I've never seen this before. They got away from her and just began to interview him, and she's just lying there dead. Something was like, it was like automatic. I didn't have to work it out, neither did my friend. It was like automatic. Something rose up in me. This is wrong. It was like injustice that someone would actually die. And we just started saying, we said, God, raise her up. And as soon as we said that, all of a sudden, she started moving. We didn't touch her. We were like, from me to Jeremy away. Amen. And she started moving. And then someone started motioning. And then the police went over. And then the ambulance guys went over. And they're looking at her. And they're looking at one another. There was also something in it that I felt was probably pretty wrong. Is they probably just thought, well, she's a drug addict. We see this all the time. We're not even really going to try. See, sometimes the things we see all the time condition us. But guys, he's trying to interrupt church. We've been on a course, and we're trying to get somewhere to have a dinner, but God's like, I got other plans. I'm going to interrupt you. I am going to mess up church, the way you see the world. I'm going to mess up at all, because what I'm trying to bring forth is I'm trying to bring forth a generation of sons and daughters that bring the earth into subjection to what I always wanted it to be. Lynn, don't ever stop preaching a grace message until the cry of creation stops. Guys, don't stop running after the things of God until creation stops crying. Don't ever believe a lie that things have to be the way they are. Don't ever believe that you have to be what society has defined you to be. Don't ever believe that you have to be what your home life was like. Don't ever believe that you have to relive the cycles that are out in this world, because let me tell you something, God's going to break into this world. It's not going to be like one of those things where he just does a little touchdown in one church and they have a big party and everybody flies in. I love that, and that's great, but I'm looking for something greater. I'm looking for a global thing where sons and daughters emerge on the earth and all creation goes, oh, that's what Jesus looked like. The Bible says he was the exact radiance of his Father. And he said this, I can do nothing unless I see the Father doing it. And you're in here tonight and you're going, okay, well, I need to hear what the Father's doing. Yes, I believe that. But I also believe if you're not sure what it's like, go back into the Gospels and find out he opened blind eyes. He raised the dead. He cast out demons. He cleansed lepers. He hung out with unworthy people. And he also hung out with people that thought they were worthy and just had a different message. And they like, he changed the earth in those little moments that he was on the earth. Some of you have been alive longer than Jesus was in ministry, and you can't define your failures, let your failures define your future. Because he's put within you an ability to speak to wind and to waves. I was in California when this last wave of tornadoes hit, and my brother-in-law lives in Huntsville, and something just rose up in me, and I'm saying, this is just wrong. I'm going to say a bold statement. Have you ever considered that the reason the earth has seen so many calamities lately has been because those that are supposed to be blessing the earth are cursing the earth? Have you ever thought that the earthquakes, the famines, and all those things that people are saying are the end times are really just a travail for something greater? You know, there comes a moment in time. My wife's had children. I don't want to get into the anatomy of that. Thank you, some of you said. But there comes a moment when labor, the water breaks and labor starts to be very intense, and there's no going back. I believe, and maybe I'm just crazy, I believe we've crossed that time. I believe there is no going back. Because what he's been doing for the last 20, 30, even more years, and he was trying to do it during the Reformation time too, is he's literally just been removing the governors and the tutors from our thinking that keep us from standing as heirs. See, the purpose of redemption is to bring us back into that which is lost. And what was lost was a son on the earth who exemplifies what the Father looks like. The whole purpose of Jesus' ministry, the whole purpose for him coming, was to come as a son to show us what the Father was like. The whole purpose for him leaving us here is to show the earth what son, the Father's like. I'm closing with this. And then we're gonna have Dan come up and he's going to orchestrate and we're going to release crazy. What do you say last night? Doggy pile. Solids. So there's this movie that I didn't like most of it because some of these movies kind of bore me. I like the weirdest stuff. I like Finding Bigfoot. You know? I know it's not real. We know it's not real. But there's this movie that's called The King's Speech. Have you seen it? You have? Oh, you haven't? Well, ask your mom. So what happens in this movie is this man's a son of a king. He's royalty. But he's got a speech impediment. And he doesn't believe he's royalty. But there comes a crisis where he needs to actually answer the call. And what happens is there's this one scene in the movie where there's this chair, and it's a royal chair. And they're trying to fix this man. They're trying to get him to have a voice again. And the man's fighting, and he's like, no, I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do it. And I'm not doing this justice. I can't do it, I can't do it. So the man who's trying to help him actually sits down in the chair. And this is like a dishonor. It is a disgrace for this man to sit in the chair because he's basically desecrating the royal chair. And so what begins to happen is this injustice actually causes something on the inside of him, Lynn, to happen, which is he becomes indignant to this act because it's illegal for this thing to happen, illegal. And he starts to, and then finally what happens is he cries out, he says, I have a voice. You know what? I just wonder. I wonder if God has not been the author at all of some of the things that have been going on. But what he has been doing is doing something in us to where we're beginning to go, no, 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 that's not right. I have a voice. See, tonight I felt like God says this. He's about to give you your voice back. He's about to give it to us all. There's something that's going to be deposited tonight when we begin to worship, begin to pray. Something's going to happen to where you will never, it's going to be supernatural. You're not going to be able to explain it. You're not going to be able to look at things the same again. God's about to put something in you that when you look at the news and when you look at the earth, it is actually going to cause something to rise up on the inside of you that says, wait a minute, I'm a son in the earth and I'm not going to allow this to happen. So what I want to do before we pray, and Dan, you can come up and worship team can come up, as I want to pray right now, and I want you guys to agree with me, because here we are at youth camp, and you guys are sons and daughters, and you know who you are, and you're growing even more in the things of God. But guess what? This country is filled with orphans. This country is filled with lost people who don't know who they are. People your age, people you go to high school with. And for a quick minute, I want you guys to agree with me. We're going to pray for them tonight. I believe that from this place, as we pray tonight, God's beginning to do something in this nation with the youth. Can we do that? You can play, Greg. Let's do that. Some of you know what? I just feel like we used to do this years ago, and I think there's some things that aren't legalism we should just sometimes bring back. I remember we used to just get out of our, sometimes we just stop in the middle of a service and get on our knees and just begin to pray for our communities. If you feel led to just get on your knees, do it. If you feel led to just bow your head or lift your hands, we're going to speak to this generation in America. God, we come before you tonight, and we're sons and we're daughters, Lord. But Lord, we hear your voice in this place, and they might have heard thunder. Father, we pray for the youth of America. And Jesus, we pray for this generation. And Lord, when we say generation, we're speaking to all those on the earth, from the oldest to the youngest. God, we pray for this country, Lord. Lord, this grace message has so changed us from a posture of, yeah, God, destroy America so we can get out of here, to, Lord, save it and resurrect it and rise it from the ashes, Lord. God, tonight we declare that the best days of America are ahead. God, we pray for the schools, and we pray, Lord, we pray for those little kids, God, who don't know what it's like to have a dad. And Lord, we pray for the ones who are in broken homes tonight, Lord, and their parents are sticking needles in their arms. And Lord, they're wondering, God, why'd you even create me to live in this mess? God, we pray for them tonight. Lord, we ask that you would move on America, Lord. That you'd release a move of your spirit, Lord. Lord, even tonight, God, Lord, those who think they got it all together, wonderful homes, Father, the parents are making millions and hundreds of thousands of dollars, and they think there's no problem. But yet, Lord, the home is missing one thing. It's missing you. We pray for them tonight, too. Lord, we declare that this year there'll be no more school shootings in Jesus' name. God, we declare that this year the statistics of teen pregnancy would go down, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we declare that a generation would begin to emerge in America, God. Let revival break forth in our colleges, God. Let it break forth in our schools, Lord Jesus. And Father, let the message of grace transform this earth in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for Berkeley Springs tonight, Lord, as we're all here from all different places. Lord, we seed this town with the prayers of the saints, God. We declare, Lord, that you would begin to move in this high school down here, Lord. We declare you begin to move in the elementary school. Lord, you'd move in the homes here, Lord. Lord, we seed the cloud with faith tonight, God. We declare, we seed the womb of the future. We declare, God, we declare that this year, God, no hurricanes would come upon our shores in the name of Jesus. let's just do this. I don't know if you guys all do this, and I hope this isn't offensive. Let's just take a moment and pray in the Spirit. If you don't pray in the Spirit, don't be condemned. Just begin to worship. Some of you may receive it even in this moment. Let's just begin to pray. We just yield this time for you for a couple minutes, Holy Spirit. Pray it out, your perfect will. Every sickness in this place has to bow to the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I just feel we need to just wait a minute. This isn't trying to work some. He's doing something so powerful in this moment that we may not ever know about. President, Lord. Lord, we bless him in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for his kids, God, tonight. Lord, his family. We pray, Lord, you'd move in the White House, God, in Jesus' name. We pray for our Congress, God, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we pray you would put prophets and wise men in their path, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, that you'd break the division that's there, God. Lord, let love invade our country in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray a bold prayer tonight, God. We pray that, Lord, you would end the human trafficking in our country in the name of Jesus. God, we pray for the church. Lord, guys, let me challenge you. Keep your eyes closed, but let's pray. I challenge you guys. Don't get critical of the church. God loves the church. I love the church. I love every form of the church. Even though I don't agree with everything she does, I love the church. Fall in love with the church. Some of the people that were upset at actually birthed our hit. They were in our history. If they didn't do what they did, we wouldn't have what we have. And we thank God for the church, Lord. Father, I declare that this generation, Lord, the cynicism, God, would be broken, Lord. The need to be heard rather than understand, God. Lord, Lord, you'd raise up a father generation, Lord, that isn't full of insecurity, God, that doesn't have to go out to try to prove something and be the most flamboyant, God, and the most controversial. Lord, we don't want to be controversial, God. We want to be lovers, Father. We want to show the earth what you're like, Lord. We want to impart, God. We want a father and we want a mother, Lord. So we pray for your church that you would awaken fathers and mothers, Lord. Father, I pray for the men and women of God, Lord, in the body of Christ who've went, Lord, into hiding because they're discouraged, Lord. Maybe even in this place, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would awaken them in the name of Jesus.
Stand up for just a minute. I just felt like as he was saying, like, I feel like God wants to do something sovereign tonight. And by sovereign, it takes all performance, all labor, all working for a move of God. especially around here. Here's what I really heard the Lord say last night. I don't know if I shared this, but I really heard the Lord say that those of you who are hungry here, and I think that's everybody, your life will never be the same from this moment on. Because what God wants to do is so sovereign, it's nothing you can produce, and it's more than you could ever ask for, because words can articulate the greatness of what he gives. Yeah. And I just heard as Mark was sharing, like, and I don't know how familiar we are with this, you know, and I want to honor, like, the things that we hear about. There's so many things that have been prophesied and prophetic voices and books written and all these things about a generation, a generation, a generation. And one of the things the Lord started stirring in my heart a few years ago in this past year has just really been drilling is this idea of a great awakening. And there's been just heaps and heaps of prophetic words about an awakening and on a generation. And sometimes, and the Lord started to speak to me, he said that where there's prophecy, it will cease. And the challenge with the prophetic is a lot of times we think, we put that in just context of, well, Jesus will come back and we won't need the gifts someday. And that's certainly true. Someday we won't have to prophesy because we'll know things, right? But what the Lord spoke to me about is there was a prophetic word circulating the coming Messiah for century upon century. I mean, their culture, it hung on the thread of there's one coming, there's one coming, there's one coming. And for century upon century upon century, they're prophesying this Messiah to come. And all of a sudden, the Messiah is there and nobody knows. See, where there was a prophetic word, it ceased because he came. And they no longer needed the word of his coming because what they were prophesying to come was right in front of them. The problem was many of them were still so hung on the word they couldn't receive the thing that the word was about. And when I hear things like there's a great awakening, and just to honor even this house, the message and the ministry that's come off of this hill to the nations, the world will never be the same. It will never be the same. But what I feel like even sovereignly tonight God wants to do, he wants to awaken that so crazy in us. Yeah. So just like Mark was saying, and I know this is like more religious circles, but we fight so hard to see, like, you know, do good deeds, or we fight so hard to be a good representation, and that's great. Like, don't stop fighting for your witness. Don't stop fighting for purity. Man, if you're dealing with stuff, fight for purity. Fight, that's not religion. Fight for purity, you know? Resist things that you know aren't the Lord. But equally as hard, let's learn to fight for the supernatural sovereignty of God to awaken nations way more than our message can do. Because I'm going to tell you right now, in places like, and not to single anybody out or dishonor a religious movement, but it's going to take a sovereign move of God to awaken things like Islam. Because they're not going to listen to the message. It's going to take Jesus walking through the walls. It's going to take you laying hands on somebody who doesn't even believe in them getting up from a wheelchair or getting out of the grave. Yeah? There are tons of testimonies coming from overseas right now where Muslim, almost tyrants, are in their room at night, and all of a sudden Jesus walks through the wall into their room and ministers them. A good friend of mine was just in Turkey where it's Muslim dominated, and there's this guy who was a Muslim, and all of a sudden an encounter one night, he had Jesus walk. I mean, they don't know anything about Jesus, and if they did, they would be stoned for even mentioning the name Jesus, right? Jesus walks into this guy's tent and lays his hand on his chest. See, we don't think God does stuff like that sometimes. This guy has a white palm print on his chest to this day from where the Lord touched him. And now he was fathering the village that he's in. And people are getting saved. Signs and wonders are happening. Yeah. And see, where even a Muslim-dominated region would want to attack and persecute, what are you going to say when some guy's walking around with a palm print on his chest and healing the sick and raising the dead? What are you going to say? Because their God can't do that. Ours can. Yeah? That's what I love about Jesus. All it takes is our abandonment to his sovereignty. Yeah? And just like Mark said, sometimes we have so many abandonment issues, it keeps us from abandoning ourselves to him. Yeah? Just lift your hands all over the room really quick. Here's what I just felt like God wants to do. And I want you to just cut all the normal. Let's pray for something specific tonight, because I know, like, God moves, but don't that's negative in content. Let's not be sloppy about what the Lord wants to do tonight. Let's be very specific, because here's what I hear over this, and this is the word spoken. There's a great awakening happening in the earth. And just like I said last night, Paul was writing things. He was following things. He was putting perspective out on things, not because he understood everything, but because before he ever put pen to paper or a hand on a sick person, he had an encounter on a road where Jesus came to him and changed his life forever. Everybody say, awaken. Paul was woke up in that moment. I mean, he was shaken from sleep, and his life would never be the same. Yeah. And that's what I felt like the word of the Lord is for tonight. God wants to sovereignly just touch you. Yeah. And I'm not talking about any issues. God may deal with specific issues tonight. He just wants to awaken the spirit of sons and daughters. That simple. No magic formula. No working for it. We're not just going to get in the climax of a song tonight. God sovereignly wants to do what you don't even know what it is yet. Yeah. How many of you guys are hungry by show of hands? How many of you guys are just saying, God, I just wake it up. I don't even know what it looks like, God. Just do more than we've seen. This is an amazing youth camp every single year. Yeah. But every single year, he'll give more and more and more and more and more. You know, and I believe that even the founder of this, I believe your father understood that. I believe his heart was for more and for more and for more, because I believe he believed God was just that big, you know. Tonight. Just come up. Let's just start praying. And here's what I want you to do, because I know we're like, man, let's expect God to do something. Take all expectancy out tonight. I know that's not a normal thing to say. But I say that because don't preconceive what it might look like for you tonight. Just say, God, as you're coming up, just open your palms to the Lord. And here's what I want you to do in your heart, just with your eyes closed. Just say, God, I want whatever it is. I'm not asking for a specific thing tonight. Even if you've got needs tonight, just set the needs aside, because he knows they're there. Just say, God, I just want whatever it is, whatever it might look like, God. I want to be the one to stand in the gap. I want to be the one. I want to be the one. You know what I think about the early church and where we get the term Christianity or Christian? The reason they use the term Christian is because it was the only way to describe what his followers looked like, because they looked like him. They weren't just saying it because they believed something about the Messiah. They were saying it because they looked like the one they followed. They were describing them. And when I think about the commission that Jesus gave, he said, go into all the world and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and then what? And then the Holy Spirit, right? If you break down in the Greek, it would say, go and immerse them. Go and immerse them in the character, in the nature of the Father, the Son, and then the Holy Spirit. I think it's so significant. Hear me for 2 seconds. That Jesus would call 12 men and he would spend 3.5 odd years with these guys. And every day his mission was to reveal the Father. And as he revealed the Father day by day through that journey, they begin to have a new understanding of a God who loved them. And through that process, he also revealed the Son all the way to the point of the cross. And then finally they understood that this was the Son of God. Peter starts to get a revelation. It's fascinating to me that it wasn't until he revealed the Father and the Son that he unleashed the power of the Holy Spirit. Why do you think that is? Because you can have the power of the Holy Spirit without the character and the nature of the Father and prophesy things that would actually curse the planet rather than release the nature of God. But I feel like God in this awakening, he's immersing us in the love of the Father, but he's also immersing us in the nature of the Son of the living God, and it does look like something, yeah? Just cry out to him. Let's just getting a groan for him tonight. God, just do what you want to do, Father. God, I pray for the intimacy of a father, but the fire of the son. God, I pray for the gentle spirit of a father, but that mighty two-edged sword of the word to pierce the heart, God. If you're here tonight and you say, man, I'm not feeling it tonight, then tell your flesh that it wants more, because it has to obey what you say. Yeah. God, we want more tonight. We want more, Father. God, we ask for sovereignty. We ask for a sovereign touch of your spirit tonight, God. Join creation, just groan out to God. Let's do this, everybody. Lift your hands. And here's what's going to happen. I'm just going to prophesy over this right now. Some of you guys that are ministers just want to come up. Here's what God's going to do. This is what I feel like God's going to do. As people lay hands on you, you're going to feel the presence of God just hit you like a wave. I hear the Lord saying some of you are going to feel it from head to toe. Some of you are going to feel like you're swept off your feet. But as someone lays hands on you tonight, you're going to feel the presence of God. And it's not going to be clear what he's doing. He's just going to touch you. He's going to take you. He's going to awaken your spirit. Yeah? Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Yeah, some of you guys just start laying hands on him. God, we just pray for awakening tonight, God. Come on, keep your hands out. He's just going to take you tonight. Just like a gentle father is going to take you, God. We just pray for awakening tonight.